Today is Friday, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, world leaders hold a virtual summit to grapple with how long to keep the global economy at a standstill in order to stop the rise of COVID-19. Meanwhile, the United States now tops the list for the number of cases.
I think we're going to see it get worse over the next couple of weeks. One thing is happening is America has more test kits, more testing is going on. There's a lot of infection out there, no doubt about it. We're going to pick it up.
Superstar Taylor Swift is sending cold hard cash to fans struggling to pay their bills. It's all on today's International Edition. The number of people around the world who have contracted coronavirus has surged past 500,000, and the United States now tops the list. The global death toll climbed past 23,000. At New York City area hospitals on the front lines of the biggest coronavirus outbreak in the U.S., workers are increasingly concerned about the ravages of the illness in their own ranks and that the lack of testing and protective gear is making it not a matter of if, but when it will hit them. A nurse in New York died from coronavirus after working nonstop for weeks at a hospital where staffers were wearing gowns made of trash bags. Governor Andrew Cuomo said Thursday hospitals are already overwhelmed.
Almost any scenario that is realistic will overwhelm the capacity of the current healthcare system.
Some hospitals have been so overrun by dying patients, they've brought in refrigerated trucks to handle the bodies. In the state of Louisiana, the number of known coronavirus cases jumped by more than 500 Thursday, with 86 deaths, including a 17-year-old. In Texas, five Dallas County jailmates with COVID-19 and a doctor there says other healthcare workers treating coronavirus patients are nervous about bringing the virus home to their families, but they know that people are depending on them.
I think everyone is nervous. I think we all have families. If you ask me, I have three young kids at home, a four, a two, and a baby. I don't know how, you know, and I think the scary part is everyone responds differently to this virus.
Dr. Long Chow also noted that the virus is hitting younger, healthier people as well as the older ones. In Boston, 150 healthcare workers so far have tested positive. Meanwhile, a record high number of people in the U.S. applied for unemployment benefits last week as layoffs engulfed the nation in the face of the near total economic shutdown caused by the coronavirus. AP correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
$2 trillion. That's equal to half the entire annual federal budget.
We need to get this money into the American economy and American workers.
With both battered by the pandemic's fallout, as the economy heads toward recession or worse, Treasury Chief Steven Mnuchin was asked how long the aid might keep the economy afloat.
We've anticipated 3 months. Hopefully we won't need this for 3 months.
President Trump says he does not think it'll end up being such a rough patch and is already looking ahead to the economic rebound.
It's going to open up like a rocket ship.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
While people are struggling to stay at home and not work, health officials warn the U.S. has not peaked yet. Joining us to talk more about what we can expect is Dr. Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics at New York University Langone Medical Center. Thank you for being with us, doctor. Where do you see this going in the coming weeks?
I think we're going to see it get worse over the next couple of weeks. I think one thing is happening is America has more test kits, more testing is going on. There's a lot of infection out there, no doubt about it. We're going to pick it up. It's not that it's getting worse. It's that we're going to see what's been circulating around out there for a while. Somebody said to me, do you think you've been exposed? And I said, absolutely. I work around students. I work around a healthcare center. My wife is a hospital administrator. I can't imagine I haven't been exposed to this virus. Now, maybe lucky I've been able to fight it off or I only had mild symptoms. But I suspect in most American big cities, people have been exposed. They just don't know it.
So we've basically been just interacting and doing our thing and going about our business while many, many people have it. So if this were to quiet down and get under control, is it likely that we'll be back in this situation in the fall or winter?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is it is likely that we will get the rate of infection to fall look, but we're going to face a political and social decision. Is that enough to take off the isolation, the distancing, the open the restaurants, bring the bars back, bring the sports back? It's not that it's going to go to zero. I think we're going to have some disease circulating out there at a very low level once we get through this first wave. And then I am absolutely certain it's going to come back. We don't have a vaccine. That's what we need, an attention paid to vaccine-preventable diseases. It's our only solution in the long run to beating this thing. So in the short run, I think we got one more winter where we're going to go through the same stuff as the rate may rise again of the disease.
For those of us who, like you said, you probably have been exposed, who may have been exposed and even would test positive but don't have any symptoms, are we building any kind of immune system?
I wish I could answer the question of building up immunity. I think we are, because every single virus that we know about tends to confer some immunity. But, you know, it's possible to catch the same thing again. I think that's possible. I believe it's possible with Ebola, which is a virus. The flu, I'm not sure, but I think you can be reinfected rarely with that. So this may be a virus that does permit reinfection, even if you've had it or been exposed to it. We don't know. Hopefully, somewhere, China, Italy, Iran, here, somebody is surveilling a group of patients to see, we know you've been exposed, we confirmed a test, let's say if you get it again. And we'll start that in the U.S., I hope, putting some people under surveillance just to establish this too, but we really don't know.
Is it possible to know why this particular virus is so incredibly infectious?
Students of cold viruses, which is what this coronavirus is, have been saying for a long time that there's going to be a mutation. By the way, the same thing for the flu. When you get mutations, they either make the thing more easy to catch or nastier. In this case, it looks like we got a cold virus that the mutation did both. So there's always change going on in the genetic makeup of these viruses. It's a strategy through evolutionary time that they designed so that they don't get wiped out. They change randomly, but it's hard to predict. But I think, as a lesson, we've got to do more surveillance about what viruses are out there, and we have to have more research going on all the time about vaccine development.
Dr. Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics at New York University Langone Medical Center. The U.S. military is manning the front lines in the coronavirus outbreak, from building hospitals to delivering test kits, and defense officials are advising the pandemic could be a 90-day problem, possibly continuing as late as July. That's in sharp contrast to remarks made by U.S. President Donald Trump this week. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has more.
From packing non-perishables at food banks to testing and screening patients at drive-through sites, thousands of National Guardsmen are doing whatever they can to help a nation in crisis, with more help on the way, according to National Guard Bureau Chief General Joseph Lingell.
Governors and adjutant generals are telling me that they're planning on bringing more in the near term, in the hundreds and thousands.
The Navy hospital ship Mercy is on its way to Los Angeles, with medical crews on board readying for patients. The ship will take in up to 1,000 non-coronavirus patients from L.A. hospitals, freeing up local beds and personnel as the number of coronavirus cases continues to rise. The military will soon send the Mercy's sister ship, the Comfort, and two Army hospital units to New York, one of the worst-hit areas in the nation. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Right now, what we're looking at is about 140,000 cases coming into the hospitals. The hospital capacity is 53,000 beds. That's a problem.
The Army is putting hotel rooms in empty New York hotspots to good use, converting some into makeshift hospital beds. The Army will also send a hospital unit to hard-hit Seattle in Washington State. As the World Health Organization warns the U.S. is shaping up to be the next epicenter for COVID-19, Defense Secretary Mark Esper is preparing for a long fight.
I think we need to plan for this to be a few months long at least, and we're taking all precautionary measures to do that, to be in it for the long haul.
But as the military prepares to potentially combat the coronavirus into July, its commander-in-chief, U.S. President Donald Trump, has said this week he would like to have the country opened up by Easter, less than 3 weeks away. Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
The human and economic toll of the lockdowns against the coronavirus are continuing to mount. On Thursday, Saudi Arabia hosted the first ever virtual summit of the G20 countries to discuss how to coordinate the world's economic response to the virus. As the UN chief told industrialized nations that the world is not winning the fight against the virus. Edward Uranian reports from Cairo.
Arab media highlighted Thursday's virtual summit of the G20 states hosted by Riyadh, focusing on the need to coordinate policy at the world level to better combat the potential catastrophic effects of the COVID-19 on the world economy. King Salman, addressing G20 leaders, insisted that the coronavirus pandemic requires us to take firm measures at various levels because the virus affects a lot of people. The epidemic, he said, affected economies globally, and the world is looking up at the G20 to face the crisis. Thursday's virtual summit follows a Monday virtual summit of G20 finance ministers to discuss the response of the governments and central banks to a looming economic crisis stemming from the lockdown of millions of people in countries around the world. Mohammed Bishi, deputy editor of Saudi Arabia's Al-Iqtisadiyya newspaper, told Saudi media that it is imperative for countries to coordinate economic and monetary policy rather than act alone. He says that in the shadow of globalism and open markets, no nation can independently make decisions regarding interest rates or its currency without being in sync with what's happening in the rest of the world. Dr. Paul Sullivan, who is a professor at the U.S. National Defense University, tells VOA that he thinks virtual diplomacy can work well going forward, given the need for the world's leaders to talk things through. My sense, he says, is that a large part of the diplomacy of the future will increasingly be done at virtual levels and online. Online, he adds, is not really virtual if it is done in real time and in a synchronous fashion. Washington-based Gulf analyst Theodore Karasik pointed out that Saudi Arabia's own robust military and medical response to the coronavirus to secure and sanitize aspects of daily life is an exportable model that other countries may wish to follow to flatten their infection curve and decontaminate. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tweeted Wednesday that he had spoken with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and agreed that all countries need to work together to contain the pandemic and stabilize energy markets. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
France's virus death toll is continuing to climb fast, with cases increasing 27% in one day Thursday to almost 1,700 victims, including a 16-year-old. The situation in Spain continues to be dire. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma has more.
Spain has become the country in Europe where the outbreak is spreading the fastest. Health Minister Salvador Illa has sought to assure Spaniards that the government measures to slow the virus are working, telling Parliament that the rises had been smaller than in previous days and that that indicates a changing trend, that we are entering a phase of stabilisation. While in Italy, doctors and nurses are begging the government to get more masks, gloves and goggles and urging the public to understand how important onerous social distancing measures really are. For most people, the virus causes mild or moderate symptoms, but for some, it can cause severe illness and death. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And as Italy continues to battle the coronavirus, a patient who contracted it earlier this month warns the world to be careful because the virus can be passed by those who show no symptoms. Sabina Castelfranco has more for VOA from Rome.
Italy's rate of coronavirus infections slowed for a fourth day Thursday, with many hopeful that the long lockdown is providing the results everyone has been praying for. Authorities are cautious, though, asking Italians not to lower their guard and continue to respect the rules. One hospitalized patient is speaking about his experience. 38-year-old Fausto Rossi started feeling unwell with a fever March 5th and 4 days later he was taken to the Santa Maria Goretti Hospital in the city of Latina, where he tested positive for the coronavirus. He says the problem with this virus is when it gets to your lungs, because it attacks them aggressively and causes a very serious pneumonia with an extremely high percentage of death. He stressed that this pneumonia is devastating. He said it's incredibly strong and has a very high mortality rate. He added that if he suffered from other ailments or was of a different age, he would probably not be here today. It's a horrible feeling not to be able to breathe, he said. Rossi, who is still in the hospital but has been released from the intensive care unit and hopes to return soon to his family at home, said everyone in Italy underestimated this virus. He said he hopes this pandemic will end as quickly as possible so that everyone can return to their normal lives. He offered his advice. People must respect the restrictive measures that have been put in place, leaving the house only for primary needs. They must stay at home and avoid social contact with others, because this virus walks on the legs of those who have no symptoms, so anyone could have it. Rossi is very grateful towards those who treated him. My thanks go to all the doctors and nurses of the hospital's infective diseases unit, he said. They are the true heroes of this battle. Every day they work in extreme conditions, psychologically under pressure, and with the constant fear of contracting the virus and of not being able to return home to their families. This Italian coronavirus patient says his days in the hospital were passed in great solitude, with no family members nearby and no one to support him. He said the experience has changed his life and taught him to appreciate the small things he took for granted: living, breathing, a walk, a hug, a glass of wine, freedom. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
Doctors and nurses in Zimbabwe's public hospitals have gone on strike and are vowing not to return until the government gives them personal protective equipment so they can safely treat suspected coronavirus patients. Public health specialists warn that without action to resolve the matter, Zimbabwe could turn into another COVID-19 epicenter. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare.
Doctors and nurses in Zimbabwe's public hospitals have gone on strike and are vowing not to return until the government gives them personal protective equipment so that they can safely treat suspected coronavirus patients. Public health specialists warn that without action to resolve the matter, Zimbabwe could turn into another COVID-19 epicenter. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare. Text. Doctors and nurses from government hospitals said they went on strike because pleas to address their safety concerns had fallen on deaf ears. The issue first arose after Zororo Makamba, a well-known TV broadcaster, died Monday at Zimbabwe's designated hospital for COVID-19 patients. His family said the hospital lacked the necessary equipment for treating Makamba, and doctors said they did not have the right masks and protective clothing. On Thursday, doctors and nurses union officials addressed their members outside the country's main hospital in Harare and circulated the audio on social media. Tawanda Mungofa is treasurer of Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association.
We need personal protective equipment for our doctors and our nurses and everyone who's going to be working in the health sector or who's going to be in contact with people that might be affected by this coronavirus. So where we are right now is not a position that we wanted. And as soon as our safety as healthcare workers is guaranteed, we are ready to save the Zimbabwean population. We are ready to fight this coronavirus.
Fortune Nyamande, a public health specialist, is the spokesman from the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights. Speaking via WhatsApp, he said his organization was not surprised about the actions of the health personnel given their low salaries and poor working conditions.
These issues which are being raised by the government doctors and the government nurses have been said for quite a lot of time. The government has been paying some lip service in terms of responding to the grievances raised by medical personnel. It is the time for the state to recalibrate its commitment towards taking good care and welfare of all health workers.
Later Thursday, Health Minister Obadiah Moyo told a government-controlled TV station that health personnel in Zimbabwe would receive protective gear that Chinese billionaire Jack Ma donated this week.
We want them to be back at work, you know, and not to worry, because we are even getting some more protective equipment. You know, we cannot joke about the lives of our nation, let alone of those who look after the sick. And if I could add on, the government has decided that they should get a risk allowance. A COVID risk allowance is necessary for all those healthcare workers, you know, who are providing this service.
So far, Zimbabwe has seen two confirmed COVID-19 cases, including Makamba. Doctors are waiting for test results on another suspected coronavirus patient. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
Here are some of the other stories we are following at VOA. The U.S. State Department is offering a multi-million dollar reward for information leading to the arrest of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and several of his top aides. It's charging them with narco-terrorism, accusing them of conspiring with Colombian rebels to flood the United States with cocaine. The action is bound to heighten tensions between Washington and Caracas as the spread of the coronavirus threatens to upend an economy already driven deep into the ground by years of corruption and U.S. sanctions. Eight countries, including Iran, Syria, Russia, North Korea, and Venezuela, which are all under unilateral sanctions, urged UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Thursday to request the immediate and complete lifting of the measures to enable the nations to respond to the pandemic. And China says it is temporarily barring most foreigners from entering as it seeks to curb imported virus cases. Stay with VOA for all the latest on the coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. government has concluded that retired FBI agent Robert Levinson, who vanished more than a decade ago, has died in the custody of Iran. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
The news comes from the family of Robert Levinson, which says it has no details on how or when the former agent's life ended, and that it's impossible to describe their pain. Levinson disappeared in 2007 when he was scheduled to meet a source on the Iranian island of Kish. There were proof-of-life photos until 2011, and last November, the Iranian government told the UN Levinson was the subject of an open court case surrounding his disappearance. A federal judge recently ruled Iran was liable for Levinson being taken hostage and tortured. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Riot squad of officers fitted out with masks and personal protective equipment will be deployed in Australia to enforce strict social distancing rules imposed to try to slow the spread of COVID-19. There are more than 2,600 confirmed cases in Australia. 11 people so far have died. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australians are facing unprecedented measures that further restrict their freedoms as the COVID-19 outbreak intensifies. Those caught disregarding social distancing regulations could be fined or jailed. Officials in the state of New South Wales have criticised reckless and irresponsible behaviour that endangers the lives of others. 70,000 police officers, including the riot squad, are preparing to enforce the physical distancing orders. New penalties also apply to those who refuse to self-quarantine. Australians are encouraged to report breaches anonymously to a national crime hotline. Last week, warm autumn weather attracted thousands to Sydney's Bondi Beach, flouting a ban on large outdoor gatherings of more than 500 people. Places of worship have also been closed down, along with libraries, swimming pools and museums. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says other traditional events will be curtailed.
Weddings can continue to be conducted where it is just the couple, the celebrant and the witnesses. That's no more than five people. And the 4 square metre rule has to be observed within the venue in which that's taking place. But large gatherings for weddings, sadly, won't be possible. Some of the events that have been some of the major transmitting events, it has been exactly these types of events, particularly weddings. And that is why, regretfully, we have to be able to put these arrangements in place.
The economic impact of COVID-19 in Australia continues to mount. Travel agents and airlines have said thousands of staff members will lose their jobs. Much of Australia is in lockdown. Travel between states is restricted, and all foreign nationals are prevented from entering the country. The government has also banned Australian citizens from overseas travel in an attempt to slow the spread of the new coronavirus. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You're listening to International Edition. We'll be right back.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's International Edition continues.
Nice to meet you.
Taylor Swift is helping fill in the blank space where some of her loyal fans' incomes used to be. One fan received a check for $3,000 from Swift with a note saying, "You always have been there for me. I want to be there for you right now. I hope this helps, love, Taylor." Swift also sent $3,000 to another fan who, on social media, expressed her stress about bills piling up.
Let's be friends. I'm dying to see. Make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far. It'll leave you breathless.
You've been listening to International Edition. That's it for our show today, but you can always find us at voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of our producer, Jackson Mugagne, I'm Lori London in Washington. Please take care of yourselves and be well.
This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McKee.